Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Maureen and I want to thank you so very much for the way you have welcomed and encouraged and affirmed us these three Sundays that we have been with you. And along with you, we praise God that Pastor Kim will be standing and speaking here next Sunday. Well, it's the Sunday before Christmas, and I've been thinking all week, this sermon can't be a mundane, common, ordinary sermon. Today's sermon has to be profound and passionate, memorable and majestic, epic and earth-shaking. I thought maybe something like Abraham Lincoln and the Gettysburg Address, Martin Luther King Jr. and I Have a Dream, Winston Churchill in the midst of World War II, and then I suddenly remembered that it was going to be I that was speaking, and so I realized that that ain't going to happen. And then I got this whisper in my ear that said something like, just tell the story, stupid. Just tell the story. After all, who doesn't like a great story? And all of us have different opinions about what makes a good story. Some of you may like Pride and Prejudice, or Jane Eyre, or The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or It's a Wonderful Life, or The Ugly Duckling, or Cinderella. One story that strikes me as a little more modern story, it has to do with a man named John Lennon. As many of you know, he was the driving force behind music and the philosophy of the Beatles. And in December of 1980, he was murdered by Mark David Chapman. John Lennon makes a great story because it was from rags to riches. He went from the dingy pubs in smelly Liverpool to a command performance before the Queen, from obscurity to the time when he, with perfect sincerity, said, I am more popular than Jesus Christ ever was. John Lennon plunged down many paths to search for meaning and fulfillment and joy. Rock music, drugs, Eastern religions, philosophy, isolation, and finally, the love of Yoko Ono. I'd like to think that had John Lennon lived for three or four more years, maybe he would have come to know and experience the greatest story that mankind has ever heard, seen, and experienced. The story of Christmas. As I was thinking, what text should we use today, my mind went back to the old King James version of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And I thought that it would be appropriate if a better voice than mine read this passage today. So as we listen to this, I want you to kind of clear your minds and think, this is the first time I've ever heard this story. Think of it as the first time you've ever heard these amazing words.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
For the next few moments, we're going to look at three of the hundreds of reasons that this story is the greatest story ever told. Why the Jesus story is in a class all by itself. The first reason is the mystery of the story. At first glance, it seems to be a common, ordinary human story. There's a governmental decree, a census, taxes, bureaucracy, travel with a deadline, a pregnancy that reaches full term at a most inappropriate moment, a town whose streets and hotels are apparently full, a young couple making do in bad circumstances, shepherds out in the field working the graveyard shift like they have for all their lives. But we know that what is happening here is not a meaningless round of human activity, but rather the unfolding of God's plan for the ages. It is God at work. First of all, the mystery of the angels. They're all over the place. Heavenly messengers sent directly from the presence of God to human beings. One appears to the old priest Zacharias and also to a young Jewish girl and to her fiancé, to the wise men who have been studying for years and to the poor, uneducated shepherds. And suddenly we are involved in mystery. We are on holy ground. God bursts into the common, ordinary round of life, and he injects holiness into the humdrum and majesty into the mundane. The mystery of the shepherd, of the angels, and human life can never be the same again. Then there is the mystery of the birth, because this birth is not an ordinary birth. It is a birth by a virgin. Now, this has nothing to do, or very little to do, with purity or sexuality. God could have chosen the mother with 10 children to give birth to Jesus. The question is, who's the father? Is Jesus the son of Joseph, or is he the son of God? That's the question. And the universal and undeniable witness of Scripture is that this baby is the son of none other than God himself. Listen to these verses. Mary is found to be with child through the Holy Ghost. What is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The virgin will be with child. The virgin will be with child. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Today is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's why the virgin birth is part of the mystery and also part of the great gospel, the good news of Christmas. And then there is the mystery of grace, that God would come to be with us, that we would receive this undeserved favor and love. Many centuries ago, Shah Abi ruled in Persia. He loved his people, but to understand them more clearly, he often mingled with the common people in various disguises. One day, he went as a poor man to the public square, and there he sat beside a commoner who swept the streets. And he shared the man's coarse and sparse food. He talked with this lonely man as a friend. And again he came and sat and conversed with the man until a loving personal relationship developed between the two. Finally, the Shah revealed his true identity, and he waited, expecting the man to ask for some great request or great favor. But the poor man simply gazed in wonder at the Shah, and finally he overcame his amazement, and he spoke these words: "You left your glory and your palace to sit with me in this humble place, to partake of my coarse food, to care whether my heart was glad or heavy. On others you may bestow great riches, but to me you have given a much greater gift, yourself. I only ask that you never withdraw this gift from me." Such is the wonder, the awesome mystery of God's love and mercy and grace. We do not deserve it. We can't pay for it. We can only bow before the mystery and receive his grace in childlike faith and gratitude. And then there's not only the mystery of the story, but there's the message of the story. Let's look at the key words that are included in this story. First of all, the two words, "fear not." This is the most common word spoken by God in the Christmas story. Do not fear. He says those words through the angel to Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherds, to Zacharias. Do not fear. Oh, yes, awe and respect, yes. But we don't need to be afraid of God. We can come near to him because he has come near to us. And then another word is joy. Good tidings of great joy. This is a deep, profound ecstasy and delight that only God himself could bring. And then there's the word glory, this radiant outshining of God's character and his worth. John would later say, "We beheld this glory. We have heard it. We have seen it. Our hands have handled." The glory of God has come in the person of Jesus Christ. And then peace. That means wholeness for our brokenness. Good will. He is for us, not against us. And finally, there is the word light, which stands for revelation. The scriptures tell us the day spring from on high has dawned upon those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. Some of you may remember the ballad of the Midnight Special and those memorable words, "Let the Midnight Special shine her ever-loving light on me." That legendary Midnight Special was in reality the Golden Gate Limited that pulled out of the Southern Pacific Depot in Houston, Texas at midnight, heading for San Francisco. About 30 miles down the line, its ever-loving light would shine through the barred windows of the Texas State Prison in Sugar Land. And the prisoners lying awake in their cells sent their dreams of freedom along with the light from that train. The theory was that if the light shined into your cell, you would be set free soon. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. So these are some of the words that summarize the message of this story. Fear not, joy, glory, peace, and light. Finally, there is the meaning of the story. First of all, we see God as never before. Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." If we want to know what God is like, we look to Jesus Christ. In an old Roman palace, there is a very high ceiling upon which a great artist has painted a magnificent picture. And it's too high to crane your neck up for more than a few seconds. So they put a highly polished mirror on the floor. And you can gaze down to see the magnificence that is up above. In Jesus, we don't just glance at God, we gaze at Him perpetually, and we see God as never before. We get the whole picture. Not only do we see God as never before, but we see ourselves as never before. In sin, in brokenness, yes, in absolute need of a Savior. We realize that we cannot pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. The story is told of Dr. Brunet, who on Christmas Eve stands a lonely vigil over his own son, who is dying. And he knows there will only be a few hours before his son breathes his last. Suddenly, there's a knock on the door, and a mother bursts into the room and begs Dr. Brunet to come and tend her own sick child. He yields to her request and spends one last tear-filled moment with his own son, knowing that he'll never see his own son alive again. And he goes out into the howling storm on an errand of mercy. And through the long hours of the night, he toils and he prays and he struggles to save the peasant child's life. As Christmas morning dawns, the crisis passes, the fever is gone, and the poor child's life is saved. And naturally, the grateful mother offers her life savings to pay the doctor for what he has done. Dr. Brunet looks at the mother and he says, "There is no one who can pay me for the journey that I have made this night. There is no one who can pay or repay God for what he has done in sending Jesus Christ." As one writer put it, where are we if God lets himself be laid as a refugee child in a feed trough and be nailed to a cross? One thing is certain. There are no longer any holes without light where we go to pieces, for we are no longer alone or dependent on ourselves. Even in our worst loneliness, there is one who takes his place beside us, and he is there with possibilities beyond description. He shies away from no place. He goes into every night and every poverty, and no place is so dark or distant that he cannot find it. Julius Caesar, after one of his great military victories, said proudly, "Veni, vidi, vici." I came, I saw, I conquered. And that is a perfect summary of the meaning of the Christmas story. Jesus came, and we're surprised that he came. He did not cling to his rights as equality with God. We're surprised how he came. He came as a humble child, not with fanfare, not in a limo, not with headlines, not with an entourage, not with bodyguards. He came as a humble child. And we're surprised why he came. He came to seek and to save those who were lost and without hope. He said, I came to seek and to save the lost and to give my life as a ransom for many. So Jesus came. Jesus saw. Matthew records in one instance when Jesus saw the crowds. He said, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. So he didn't just see with his eyes, he didn't just feel with his heart, but he was moved with compassion. That compassion, that sympathy brought action. And then he not only came, he not only saw, but he also conquered. He conquered our fear with his presence. He conquered our meaninglessness with purpose. He conquered the distance between God and man. We were reconciled to God. We were brought back. We were ransomed. He conquered the chaos that often rules our life. That's what peace means. Peace means to bring wholeness, wholeness to our life. Paul would later say, in Christ, all things hold together. Is it no wonder that chaos rules in our world? Because Christ has been ignored and spoken against and rebelled against. He conquers our fear and everything that would tend to destroy our life. There was a French soldier who was coming home after World War I, and he was suffering from amnesia. He couldn't remember who he was. He couldn't remember where he was from. So his friends drove him all around many places in France, and nothing rang a bell. So they said, well, let's take him to Paris. And as they traveled to Paris, they went through a number of villages, and all of a sudden he said, stop, let me off. And he runs back a few blocks, and he stands looking down the street that he'd played on as a child. And he rushes to the end of that street and the weather-beaten house, and he throws open the door, and there stands his father and mother, and the light of recognition flashes across his face. He is home. At Christmas time, like amnesia victims in a cold and broken world, where often we forget who we are and whose we are, we make our way to Bethlehem, and there we meet Jesus. And he restores us to our rightful minds. we discover peace as we are reminded of the priorities of life. Dostoevsky in House of the Dead describes in painful language the coming of Christmas Day to a lonely, cold village in Siberia. And in the middle of that village is a prison camp. It's a dingy little settlement on the frozen wastelands. And from the grim prison at the end of that single muddy street, the prisoners look out of their barred windows at the cathedral on the other side of the village. And with longing, they see the happy villagers going to the Christmas service at the little cathedral. And they weep because Christmas is not for them. They're cut off from humanity, and they huddle together for cold comfort. And finally, the long service at the cathedral ends, and the priest makes his way over to the prison camp and sets up a crude altar and begins the service of worship. And the prisoners say, "Finally, God has come to us." And the priest replies, "Yes, you see, he lives here all year long. He only goes to the cathedral on special occasions." The mystery of the Christmas story, the message and the meaning, it is still the greatest story ever told. And I trust that as you think about the Christmas story, as you read it, as you hear it, that it will not just be an interesting story to you, but that it will be your personal experience as you open your life, open your heart to this baby, more than that, to this Savior who has come to rescue you and to save you. We're going to end with a video, with a song. It is still the greatest story ever told. And too late I learned that the quartet sings this song, but we will listen to it, and I would invite you even to sing along with this simple but profound song about the story of Christmas.
The cold before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, hear a lowly manger home. It's still the greatest story.